perfect artist speak about the land that has strong the nation is. But then they started to say Eretz Achelus Yoshveha. What does it mean Eretz Achelus Yoshveha? People started to think, they said, we don't know what it is about this land, but for some reason a lot of people die there. So people dying there, burying a lot of people. Must be something in the atmosphere. Young people, they look pretty strong. Dead. What's going on? Look, we're not saying anything, but there's, there's different atmospheres. You know, we don't know the air, the water, something. Who knows what's going on there? Even to this day, people are very mystical about this type of thing. Today, unfortunately, a lot of times it's true. There's a reason, human pollution. But technological pollution. But the problem in the whole strength of the Meraglim's report to dissuade the Jews was really, in the end, was really a mystical type of thing. This land, fear of the unknown. Wonderful, big fruit, everything looks good. We don't know why people are dying there. Wonderful place. Now, once the people started to sense this, they had a fear of the unknown with regard to the land. They simply, the whole idea of the land was converted. It was destroyed. They changed the whole image of the land. That's why the pasuk says, "Vayotziu dibas ha'aretz asher toru oso bnei Yisrael lemar." Why does the pasuk speak that way? "Vayotziu dibas ha'aretz," because the Torah is showing you Motzi Diba. Motzi Diba is a language of Lashon Hara. So why does the pasuk use that language against the land? Vayotziu Dibas Haaretz? Because the Torah is telling you it's the same mechanism as Lashon Hara. The exact same mechanism. That's what they employed.
So what they mean is an objective?
Right. Instead of...
We saw them very...
They mention facts with the purpose of coloring the whole image, coloring the whole situation. And destroying the image, and that's really what Lashon Hara is. Lashon Hara really is not where you tell a lie about somebody. That's what the Rambam says. Lashon Hara is where you speak truth about him. But through the true things that you mention, this person, somehow or other, starts taking on an image of an evil individual. And that's your purpose, and that's the way it's received, and that's the way the destruction goes on, you see? That's what the pasuk says. You see, Dibas Haaretz. The same process was used with regard to the land. See, Motzi Shemra is a different process. Motzi Shemra is open aggression. Open aggression, where you simply make up stories about somebody. It's a different process. But you can't. It's two different cycles. Motzi Shemra and Lashon Hara are two separate mechanisms. That's why the Torah splits them. Why do you split them? Because in terms of human perfection, they're two different things. Two different things. You could have a person that will not be Motzi Shemra, and that will, nevertheless will be involved in Lashon Hara. You could have a person that sometimes will be involved in Motzi Shemra under certain situations, but generally speaking, he might not be that involved in Lashon Hara. It's a different mechanism. The question, however, returns as to what is the Kal Vachomer. We've been able to show that there's a mechanism of Lashon Hara there, but the Kal Vachomer still seems to be a little difficult. But it seems to be worse over there, even though it's only about the land, but the effects are much worse. It's a distortion. It's a distortion process. Lashon Hara is a distortion process, a distortion of reality. What we're saying is that Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra are two different processes. And since they're two different processes, then they must be approached in different ways, in totally different ways. That's why there's two separate things. Lashon Hara really is more concealed by nature. It's more hidden aggression. And that's why in order to root it out, they have to approach it in a different way than Motzi Shemra. As an evil, it depends upon different mechanisms of the psyche than Motzi Shemra. The question was, what's the Kal Vachomer? Because it wasn't simply they spoke against the land. Question is, I mean, they spoke against the whole concept of Yerushas Haaretz. It's not just talking against a piece of land. You're talking against a piece of land. It's senseless anyways. Where is it? It's a bad land. I mean, what kind of sense does it make? So it's not even actually, it's not even Lashon Hara. So we said that it has something in common with Lashon Hara. in the same process. Because what is Lashon Hara really? Lashon Hara, as the Rambam says, is something that's true. But the only thing is that you distort the image behind the facts by presenting certain facts, which give a certain image. In other words, really, in Lashon Hara, it's the implicit image that you're building up, which the person is after. So he uses, on the contrary, he wants to be convincing, so he uses true statements. But the thing is that people are very happy to consider somebody else a Rasha. So therefore, once you say a few things about somebody that are not good, so an entire image is projected. And this image is what the Baal Lashon Hara is attempting to produce. So he said the same thing was true with the case of the land. That what do they try to do? They try to present a certain image about Eretz Yisrael, falsify the image through true facts. But they use the facts in a certain way that the image, a certain image, should emerge. And that's really the same process as Lashon Hara. But the question still remains. But still, there's no Kal Vachomer. What kind of a Kal Vachomer is it? It's not a Kal Vachomer. Yeah, it's the same process. But what's the Kal Vachomer? It's two different areas. You're talking against somebody. You're talking against the. It's not the land per se. I mean, how do you get away from the problem of the land? You're not talking against the land. It's true, the same process. But what's the Kal Vachomer?
Yeah. Talking against God's will.
Oh, so if you're talking against God's will, then it's worse than talking against man.
It's even worse because it's a further distortion of reality.
Further distortion of reality, yeah. The answer over here is that there is a totally different concept of ethics that Chazal had. See, it wasn't just really what's bad about Lashon Hara. What's really bad about Lashon Hara? Not simply that you viciously malign somebody, so you give into a vicious emotion. Fine, so I give into a vicious emotion. So what? Emotion per se is not really bad. You see, the Gemara suggests that a person is vicious should become a shepherd. So he should express his vicious emotion. So it's not the expression of the emotion per se which is really harmful. Wherein lies the harm? Wherein lies the harm, rather? The harm lies, according to Yahadus, in one thing. In a lack of knowledge. See, a distortion of reality takes place the moment you talk less now. And it is precisely the distortion of reality that is the harm. What is the distortion of reality? Distortion of reality is with regard to a person. You will lose out because you distorted the Tzelem Elokim of a certain individual. You see. So once there is distortion of reality, the person loses out. The Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam says that there are different types of mistakes. He says they're all mistakes, but we have to differentiate sharply between the different types of error. For instance, he says, question is what a person ate for breakfast. Question. So let's say you think you ate eggs and you ate cereal. It really isn't. So you're lacking some piece of reality, some piece of truth. But it doesn't really make that much difference. He says, if you make a mistake with regard to a something which has a higher existence, you make a mistake with regard to the earth, with regard to knowledge, with regard to science, got to astronomy. It's a worse error. And every imperfection, every time we have an imperfection, we suffer because of a loss of knowledge. That's the underlying thesis. See, the ethics of the Yardas are based on one thing. Loss of knowledge. That is the evil. Now, what Chazal is saying here is like this. That the Rambam continues. The Rambam says that, let's say, for instance, I make a mistake with regard to a person. So that's still not as bad as making a mistake with regard to an angel. Because an angel is a higher level of existence. And if I make a mistake with regard to an angel, it's not as bad as making a mistake with regard to my knowledge of God. So the higher the level of the object is, the more I suffer from the error. Because the more important, philosophically, is that knowledge. I mean, philosophical knowledge is gains importance with the objects that we're dealing with. So, one second. So, what the Gemara is saying is like this, that over here you see the pasuk the Yetziyu Dibas Ha'aretz HaShatara Asah. So, they made a mistake with regard to a piece of land. Now, making a mistake with regard to a piece of land is not as important I was making a mistake with regard to what someone looked like. Is not as important as making a mistake with regard to Tzelem Elokim. Because Tzelem Elokim is on a higher level in the hierarchy of existences than a piece of land, even Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says that, well, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Uma elu sheyotziyu shemar ala itzim v'ala avonim, ulvad neschayvu min ha'onesh mashe neschayvu. Hamedaber b'gnus chaveiro, alachas kama v'chama. So, if you make a mistake with regard to a piece of land, how much of a mistake could it be in reality? Yet you see what happened because of that process of distorting reality with regard to a piece of land. So you see the tremendous tragedy that occurred, right? Kal vachomer, if you make a mistake with regard to a human being, who's a Tzelem Elokim. The mistake with regard to Tzelem Elokim is a greater error. Because the Tzelem Elokim is on a higher level. And if a person distorts the Tzelem Elokim, it means that he's distorting a concept of reality, man, which is the Yetzir Kap of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, it's a distortion. It may take place in one person. But if it takes place in one person, it shows that he doesn't have a true concept with regard to the min as well. Not just this one. You can't isolate the error. If the man could make a mistake like that, it shows that he simply has no comprehension with regard to what the Tzelem Elokim is. And therefore, once he does that, once he is subject to this process of distortion, he can make the greatest distortion and lose everything. He understands very well. A person will make a mistake with regard to a Talmud Chacham will be even worse. So if a person is subject to the process of distortion, then he is capable of bringing upon himself a worse tragedy than the Maragim. That's what the Gemara really says.
You think though the distortion of the letter?
The motivation over there was because they were scared. True, that's true. They were frightened. And that was their crime, by the way. Their crime was, the Ramban says, their crime was cowardice. It's an interesting thing. The crime of the Maragim was cowardice. Because they could not remove themselves, change themselves from the slave mentality. Since they were in Egypt and they were subdued and had a slave mentality, they could not undo that mentality. They couldn't change that aspect of their personality. And because they couldn't do that, they were high of quota. They were high of to suffer and die in the Midbar, be destroyed. You see. Because they couldn't do it. They couldn't overcome that emotion. That was their aver, really. Their aver was fear. That was their aver. They could not overcome that emotion. It was a part of their mentality from Egypt, and they were obligated to revise their whole nature, their psyche, and to remove that type of mentality. That's why I said it is impossible for the first door to do it. Next door they will do it. You see an interesting thing? You see that Chazal, we don't know the processes that Chazal used, but Chazal definitely were involved in working on themselves. No question about it. I mean, you see that they were deeply involved in working on changing themselves. And if you read a lot of the Agadites, the Gemara says that he was working on this meter, and this Paula, he should have this Anivis, and he didn't get it. Whatever, there's different Gemaras that talk about this. And they worked on themselves. Chazal worked on themselves. They worked on their inner selves. And that's why the Rambam says that you shouldn't just go and follow or copy what Chazal did. Because they knew what they were working on, they knew what they needed for themselves. Doesn't mean that's good for you. You have to have the knowledge. No, you don't. But they were constantly trying to revise their nature and their psyche and raise it to a higher level. They worked on themselves. Yeah.
Are you okay? For example, in America, there's a lot of
that. No. Well, Mazel Tov, really. You see, what the Gemara means by Ein Mazel Yisrael. What does the Gemara mean really? Ein Mazel Yisrael. What the Gemara means is that Mazel really means it just so happens. Yeah. Coincidentally, that's what Mazel means. So that's what it means. Mazel. Ein Mazel Yisrael means that with the Jewish nation, nothing happens accidentally, coincidentally. But this has got. That's Ein Mazel Yisrael. That's it. Okay. And that's why the Gemara says that Vayotze Yotze Achutza by Avram Avinu. Tzei Meitz Tagmina Shalvah. It's all Avram Avinu. That is not. It's going to be special Hashgacha. You're not under the stars. Under the stars means that the stars represents the whole system of nature. That's what it means. In other words, that the not that actually the stars do anything, but the stars represents the universe. And the universe represents the system in its entirety. So the system in its entirety, the way it was geared to work. It has certain properties and certain occurrences that take place based upon how it's worked. So Ein Mazel Yisrael means that there really is no accidental occurrences. That's really what it means. When you say that when you wish somebody Mazel Tov, what you're wishing him is that the factors that are necessary for their happiness should be, the other person should hope that the factors that are necessary for the happiness of the couple are there, because, the person would be misspelled for something like that. But the mazel means over here means the factors that are necessary for the person's happiness should be in line so that the person can be happy. Because a lot of things can occur. So you wish him that he should be, that the reality should be a certain situation, that he can have, he can gain benefit from the situation. That's all. If you think it's a mystical thing, then there's a bit. Yeah.
All right. Do we say that Lashon Hara applies to all objects, every object?
Yeah, it would seem that the process of Lashon Hara, that process of Lashon Hara can apply to anything. The process can apply to anything, yeah. An attempt, that's right. An attempt to distort, it seems so, that an attempt to distort reality, the reason why we lose by Lashon Hara is not so much because a person expressed a vicious emotion. As I told you, that's not our type of effort. Is because there's every concern, every lack in Yadus is a lack of knowledge. And what happens is that a person who distorts reality because of his own emotions will bring himself to great harm. That's why it says that in Lashon Hara, three people die. The one that said it, the one that heard it, and the one they're talking about. And it's the one that said it also. Why does he die? Because he distorts reality, he loses out. We've got the person, distortion of itself and Elohim shows that the person has to lose out. If he has that nature, you have to distort to tell him again, he has to lose out. It is impossible not to. Yes? Oh, because what we're saying is, if you realize that most people aren't on the level to remove themselves from this type of a framework, you have to use seichelus to know when to get involved in something like this, because the fact remains, like the Rambam says in the Mara Nevuchim, so the Rambam says that the people who don't really have knowledge of what they're doing in Yadis. They talk about God, and the relationship to God is really just that of hollow emotions, around when he uses that expression, hollow emotions. So he says, on them the Pasuk says, they are close in their lips and far in their hearts. In other words, they say the right statements, but these statements they all use these crazy emotions. They take these very statements and they put the crazy emotions on them too. So close to the Navi says, they're close in their lips, but they're far in their hearts, which means that they're really very far away from God, because the way they relate to God, it's really a totally superstitious thing. But nevertheless, they say Hashem Echad. I mean, they may not understand why it's important to know Hashem Echad, or they may not really, dwell on it, or they may not understand what Avas Hashem is. They don't understand any of these things, but they still say the right thing. So you have to understand that even though it's a criticism of them, but still, it still is something, because at least you have the right system being stated again and again. The ideas are repeated. They may not be able to relate to them properly, but as long as you have the ideas being repeated from one generation to the next, a chacham can always come along and say one day, hey, look what we're saying. We really understand what we're saying. We'll realize that our whole approach is wrong. So that's a very important thing, that Klal Yisrael should subsist, and even if it's wrong, but as long as they have the right statements in their lips, which for them of course isn't good, but you have to look in terms of the system, that's the preservation of the system. So you shouldn't be too quick to degrade people who aren't on the level. I mean, you have to realize that they're on this level, and that's their function. Their function is to carry on the system verbally, factually. It's also a function. Not the highest function. We shouldn't strive for that, but we shouldn't try to obliterate that. To try to encourage it, as a matter of fact, because at least if somebody has the right system, keep on going. That's important to remember. Now, we said that what is the idea that the first generation couldn't do, the second generation could? Because to be a pioneer requires a certain emotion, certain emotional strength, courage. Because a pioneer is somebody that bucks the whole system. Now, to be a pioneer, the person feels tremendous psychological burden. To do something new, it's tremendous. Everybody's against you. So your whole emotion of being in line with everybody that you're raised to think is good, you see, is from early youth, with your parents and everything else. So that type of mentality is being challenged when you're a pioneer. It's a very difficult thing to do. So that's why the first generation couldn't do it. Because the first generation didn't have the ability to be a pioneer.
But the second generation, it wasn't looked as looked upon as a new thing already, because they already had the system from the first generation. So they didn't feel that they were pioneers, so they didn't have the same challenge anymore. You see? Aside from the fact that they weren't in Mitzrayim, the second generation, which of course is an important thing, but it's still the system wasn't new also. Two factors. They weren't in Mitzrayim, so they didn't have that, they weren't burdened with the psychological phenomena that the first generation had, and also it wasn't already wasn't a new thing anymore. So there was a certain amount of acceptance, you know, that went along with it. A certain amount of emotional acceptance, which makes it much easier. I mean, it's easier for a person today to be a religious Jew than it was for Avraham Avinu. That's the whole thing of Avraham Avinu. So the first generation couldn't do it. It was too much pioneering. You're right about that. That's a good point. I mean, the thing is, we all know the Chazal. Chazal say that they had to get out of Mitzrayim at that point. Why? Because there was something Mentes Shari Tuma. And if they went down one more category, then they would be destroyed. What is the pshat? What does it mean, really? It means that they're gradations. In other words, as a person sinks lower into the emotional life, the element of rationality gets weaker and weaker until it reaches a point where it has no effect whatsoever. Then they wouldn't be able to receive the Torah. Impossible. So that's like the real primitive Odei Avodah Zarah. Simply, the rational faculty is completely gone. And there's no way that they could pull themselves out of it. That's the Mentes Shari Tuma. See? And on the contrary, the Sha'arim that raise a person to a higher level, to the highest intellectual level, is just the opposite. That as he gains in knowledge, every time he reams away more emotion, the mind becomes more strong, more powerful. The eye of the mind becomes stronger. As it becomes stronger, it works in a different radius. And it wears away more. It keeps on going, keeps on gaining. That's the process. Process either keeps going up or goes down. But basically, that's what Chazal meant by that.
Geometrically.
Yes, geometrically, yeah. I would say so. Yeah. Makes sense.
It's emotional involvement before 9/11.
Yeah. They went 3 days without water. They say the water means Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu was masakin that they should learn Torah. Why? Because the makos didn't have a tremendous effect. The makos could be taken two ways. The person could be irrational about the makos, though. Requires irrationality in makos. Makos don't mean anything. The only thing is knowledge. Knowledge, if it's with knowledge, then it's something. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu saw, that Klai Yisrael was going to be destroyed in spite of all the makos, in spite of all the miracles. Unless he's misaking Krista. There's no knowledge, 3 days will be destroyed. Doesn't mean anything. That was the halacha. One is as bad as these three are, Lashon Hara is the worst. Good question. Why isn't it included in the three? What? Well, since the Talmud Nema Bavarazora Milas Godo Ruamra Onachata Amazecha Togedola, Moshe Rabbeinu said, by Avarazora, they sinned the great sin. And also by Gili Arias, it says Godol, because it says that Yosef Atzadik said, Eich Ese Arog Dolazos. I did this terrible thing. Kapasigol again. So it's that was Gili Arias. And so we see that these things are considered terrible crimes. The Nema Baloshin Hora Milas Gidolos wrote Saloma Shu Kineget Shloshton Ruhu Amro Loshon Medaberes Gidolos. That's what the Pasuk says in Tillam. That the tongue that speaks great things, it's a reference to Lashon Hara. Great over here means very terrible things. So you see that Lashon Hara is considered worse than all three. Pasuk is in, it's in Tillam in the beginning of it. Tillam Yudbeis Dalet. That's right. Okay, so the thing is that we have to understand, I mean, why is it that it's connected all these three? Why is it connected all these three? What do you say? You can see in Lashon Hara, we have to understand two things. So why are these three mentioned that he's standing out so big? Nobody mentioned Wasn't Us. It Wasn't Us can add to them. But really, these are the three major categories. So the thing is that we can see in Lashon Hara, you can see an element of distortion of reality, the Tevodah Zarah. And you can see in Lashon Hara also an element of Shvichas Zdomim. But where do you see Gilui HaRayos? What? In other words, what is the Gemara saying of it? Lashon Hara Keneged the Kulam. You have to understand that. I mean, because these three things are horrible things. They destroy all society. Gilui HaRayos, Vaz HaRashtos, Zdomim. That's the worst thing. So what is the, what was the Gemara saying is equal to? Well, the Gemara means like this. There are two types of sins that a man can do. One is in its gross form, where the instinct is expressed in its naked self, without any type of coverings or trappings. But the bare instinct is expressed. That's real. That's a Avodah Zarah, Gilui HaRayos, Shvichas Zdomim. Okay? And we understand that once the instinct reaches that level, and of course the person has no chelek in Olam HaBa, he has no part because he's an animal. He's not even a being, so the animals don't have a part in Olam HaBa. Okay, simple as that. But then there is another type of expression of the instinct, and that is the sublimated form. The sublimated form of the instinct of man is expressed through the lashon. Sublimated form, it's not so gross anymore. It's refined, it's dignified, it's something that you really don't see, how terrible it is. So the question is, so you would say ordinarily that which is the worst? The worst one is the one that has the gross expression. Because that's really totally being captured by the instinct. So Chazal say, from one sense you're right. But from another sense the sublimated is worse. Why? Because you can't extricate yourself from the sublimated. So, that's what the memo means. The Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam means like this, that we know that insofar as a person has a place in Olam HaBa, what determines what his place in Olam HaBa is? It's only based on one thing, insofar as he loves the good. If a person truly loves the good, then his soul has a place in Olam HaBa. It's not a matter of giving somebody a present. If the soul enjoys the good, so in Olam HaBa, where the good is there, his soul has a place. But if the soul is enjoys the instinctual, so simply Olam HaBa is no place for him. He doesn't fit there. He's not constructed for it. And the human being is created in a certain way that he can structure his own soul. He has the ability to structure his soul, to restructure himself. So what the Gemara is saying is like this, that insofar, it's true, it's worse insofar as the fact that the Avodah Zarah, Gilui HaRayos, Shvichas Zdomim, is a gross expression of the instinct. Insofar as that's concerned, it's worse. The Gemara is not taken away from the memory. Memory is that these two things are definitely worse. Worse in one sense, but not worse in another sense. In another sense, the sublimated are worse. Because the sublimated, you can never remove yourself from. And the person remains always, all his life, he remains attached to it. The attachment is very strong. The gross instinct, there isn't so much attachment to it. Because the gross instinct, how often does a person kill somebody? Even a person that does commit murder, generally speaking, it's one murder in a number of years. I mean, generally speaking, of course there are mass machigai and mass murders, but I mean, generally speaking. Why? Because the person realizes that it's wrong, and he controls himself. Only in certain situations he can't control himself, kill somebody. But in terms of the attachment to evil, the sublimated is worse. The attachment is far stronger, it's constant, and it prevents him from ever changing. Therefore, his value system is totally distorted. You see, so the Gemara is not taking away from the statement that these are terrible things, but the Gemara says, "Don't fool yourself. They're terrible in one respect, but in another respect, Lashon Hara is even worse." So, when a person comes to the next world, and the question is, what his soul enjoys, and his soul can only partake of the good insofar as he enjoys the truth and the real ideas, if he's attached to Lashon Hara. He's a Baal Lashon Hara. This doesn't mean a person who just spoke Lashon Hara. I mean, if he's a Baal Lashon Hara, the Rambam says in the Menuchas Shuva, Baal Lashon Hara, or is it in the, I mean, maybe in the Sanhedrin. He's a Baal Lashon Hara means that the Baal Lashon Hara means, doesn't mean that he just spoke once. I mean, everybody speaks Lashon Hara once it happens. But it means, a Baal Lashon Hara means a person who thrives on Lashon Hara. That he enjoys, there's a tremendous enjoyment of his, and he's preoccupied with it. That's a big part of his life. It's a Baal Lashon Hara. I'm not trying to to downgrade the importance of never speaking Lashon Hara. I mean, it's very important. The higher a person is, I mean, of course, the person really will be measured by his Lashon. That's what we said before. A person will be measured by his Lashon. How high a person is and what level he is, you can tell by the way he speaks. Because speech is the translation of the instinct into actuality in man, sublimated in a sublimated form. A person is a Baal Lashon Hara, he has no Kavanah Lavo. That's what his endurance is. His demeanor is totally into the instinctual. It's worse than the others, because the others don't have that strong a grip on him. So some certain times he killed. So from one respect, the others are worse. But from another respect, Lashon Hara. That's what the Gemara is. It's the gross emotion. It's a good elaboration. Richard is saying that the elaborate a little further, that in the gross expression, there are psychological restraints. A person is horrified. How could I kill somebody? When it comes to the Lashon Hara, he's not so horrified by it. So his attachment, then you see what he really values. Because in the gross situation, he may value it, but he can't tolerate the thought. He can't go to sleep at night. He's a killer. How can he sleep at night? He can't do that. He can't come to peace with himself. But Lashon Hara, this is a terrible thing. But meantime, in terms of the value system, you see his attachment. Very good. Yes? I'm not answering the question precisely the way I put it. Because the question was, how do you see in these three things in Lashon Hara? All I'm saying is that the instinctual express the Lashon Hara. All the instinctual. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shefach HaZdamim represents the basic instincts of man. And every one of these instincts is expressed through the Lashon. That's all the Gemara means. It's not a... the basic point is what Yad just recognized with Lashon Hara is really an unbelievable thing. Yad just recognized that herein lies the perfection in perfection. This is where perfection is. Yad just came along and underlined, pointed the finger at where the perfection really is. Tremendous thing. So here's where it is. If you're not going to do it over here, that's it. Because this is the way man is constructed. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. All the Chazal about Lashon Hara. That's what it is. So now the Rambam says, the Rambam's like this. The Rambam says, the Dibru Ba'ovon Azeh Ora. And they spoke about this cursed sin, the Rambam says. Harbe Ma'od Ma'od. Very, very much Chazal spoke about this cursed sin. Why? The Tachlis Masha Amru, and the essence of what they said is, call him a Saper Beloshin Hara Kofar Be'iger. A person who talks Loshin Hara denies God. Shenema. The Pasuk says, it's the same Pasuk from over there. Huh? Pasuk says, Asher Amru Lushonenu Nagbir Sifasenu Itanu Mi Adon Lono. The Pasuk says, Asher Amru, they said, Lushonenu, our tongue, Nagbir. We should be courageous in expressing our Lashon Hara. Sifasenu itanu, our speech is with us. Mi adam lanu, who is the master over us? Unbelievable thing. Okay, what is the concept over here? And the Rambam says that's the essence. That's the underlying essence. There's a tachlis masha amru, kol masap Lashon Hara kofar be'ikar. Denial of God. In other words, why is he considered kofar be'ikar? So Richard said like this, says the reason is, good shot. Shot is that a person who talks Lashon Hara or Lashon Hara, what is his purpose? His purpose is to decrease, devaluate the position of a certain individual with regard to society, or to a certain society that he lives in. I mean, that's his purpose, basically. So we're not talking about a person who wants to destroy somebody for a business reason, because that would be ready Motzei Shema also. And a person would lie also to destroy somebody. If he had to make a business deal and he wants to make sure he gets it, not somebody else, he would even lie about it. That's a different emotion. But we're talking about Mizbalei Lashon Hara really don't have any benefit. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, there's a Gemara in Bava Kama that says that they asked the snake. They asked the snake, they said to the snake, why, it's okay, alright, you bite, but why do you have to put the poison in, inject poison? When you bit somebody, take away what you took and eat. Why do you inject the poison? So the Gemara says, the snake answered, the snake said, that, and why do people speak Lashon Hara? Same thing. Same idea. So what the Gemara means to say is that Lashon Hara basically has no objective. See, the objective really is self-fulfilling. We're not speaking about Lashon Hara with an objective. That's a different kind of thing. So a person wants to harm somebody. But Lashon Hara in general is in order to raise a person's own status in the social environment that he finds himself. and to decrease somebody else's status. So in other words, what is the reality that he lives in? The reality to him is the society, whatever the society thinks. Those are the standards. So he's very happy society considers him to be important. The society considers him unimportant. He's very upset. So therefore, he has a sibling rivalry between somebody him and somebody else. He depreciates the other person, and he rises to the top. But where is he rising to the top? Where? In terms of the society. That's kafar bi'ikr. Because kafar bi'ikr means that the person denies the ultimate reality, that there's an ultimate reality. It's an interesting chazal. Chazal say by Reuven that Reuven vayishma, Reuven vayatzileu miyadam. Reuven heard what happened, and he saved Yosef. Saved Yosef. But as you know, he didn't fully save him, just temporarily. The Gemara says, Ilu hoya yadea Reuven. If Reuven would have known that the Torah would write that about him, vayishma Reuven vayatzileu miyadam, al ksefoy hoya malicha hoya tzilover. That's what the Gemara says. He would have carried him on his shoulders as well. Interesting thing. So the Gemara says, then the Medrash goes on to say, the Medrash goes on and says, Achshav Mikosev, who writes now? Zechariah Baruch's Kosev. That's good in the time of the Torah, the Gemara says. That Reuven was existed in a certain time where whatever he did was recorded in the Torah. But what about now that things aren't recorded in the Torah anymore? So who writes about us, what we do? Zechariah Baruch's Kosev. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means that a person, who is the person that really reaches the highest level? That all he cares about is what the ultimate, the source of all reality, thinks of him. That's the only measuring rod, nothing else. So Baal Lashon Hara is a person who is concerned with a false system. Denial of God. That's why he has to gain esteem through his fellow, with the society of his fellow man. That's why it says, Ikir, it's Kafa Bik. That's why it's considered Kafa Bik. Very good. Okay, so in other words, you can see how brilliantly Chazal differentiated between Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra. Because Motzi Shemra is a different thing. You should say if a person is Lashon Hara, Kavah Chama, Motzi Shemra, it lies also. Motzi Shemra is different. Motzi Shemra is where the person wants to achieve an objective. Generally, that's the situation. Even if it's true, I would say the question is, you see, there's two questions. What's the Tzuras HaChait, and what is the Chait insofar as the imperfection of the soul is concerned? The imperfection of Lashon Hara is not where you're trying to achieve something. Lashon Hara refers to a situation where the person simply is overcome by his societal value, his status, and he has to make sure that his status is higher than somebody else. It's a different thing altogether. That's why they differentiate between those two things. Okay. Now, there's one more thing that it's in line with the same thing, but you see one thing. You see that a person's search for God, acceptance or a search for Kodesh Baruch Hu can only take place if he values the truth, the emes of everything. Once he distorts reality because of his own emotions and he accepts a different reality, that's Kafa Beta. That's basically what the Gemara said. Okay. It's Kafa Beta. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara that the Rambam quotes is one more piece of Gemara that he doesn't quote, but I think it's an important one. It's right before the one that he quotes. The Gemara is like this. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanan Bar Chanina, it's Daf Tesvav on the Beis in Erchen. What should a guy do if he's Mesapa Lashon Hara? What should he do? So Gemara says, "Im Tamar Chachamu, if he knows how to learn Torah, Yasek B'Torah. He should learn Torah." Shemar Gemara brings another pesukim. And Gemara says, "Imam Ha'aretzu, what if he's an ignoramus? He can't learn. Yashpil Daitel." Gemara quotes pesukim. So it's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara gets down to the root of Lashon Hara and how to remove it. You see? So what does the Gemara say? What is Yasek B'Torah? What is Yasek B'Torah? Why is he if he's Tam Chacham Shur Yasek B'Torah? Because what's he got to do with it? And we'll stop learning. We'll talk Lashon Hara. Now Yasek B'Torah means that the person should involve himself, not just simply learn a certain amount of block, but he should involve himself in the world of thought, in the world of reality. Then he'll see that Lashon Hara is simply nothing. Won't have any appeal to him anymore. Because when a person's in the real world, the other world pales. That's why the Gemara says, "Tamach Chacham," that's the best way. They should have no appeal, no desire for Lashon Hara. But what should he do if he's not Maaretz? Maaretz can't do that. He can't go into the real world. Unfortunately, he never learned, never knew how to learn, so what is he going to do? So the Gemara says, "Yashpil Atzatzmo," as in reference to what you said, that that what is responsible for the Lashon Hara what's responsible is the man's egoistic drive and his concern about his status in terms of society. So Yashkel Satsma means he should knock himself down in society. That would remove the cause. Well, there's two different levels. In one case, I mean, Tom Kochum is a different thing. That's where simply the whole desire for Lashon Hara vanishes. The Amoritz can't be that fortunate, but he can be bring himself to a situation where it's under control. How could an Amoritz be mashpil daito? How could he do it? So, really, the truth of the matter is that if a person looks at his own life and his own physical existence and how temporal it is, then he's that's actually mashpil daito. He looks at that reality. Even if he doesn't have to be a tremendous chacham. Mashpil daito. It's different. There's mashpil daito where a person recognizes chachmas Hashem, then he feels like there's nothing. There's absolutely zero. But even a person who's not Amoritz, if he recognizes his temporal existence, like the Gemara says, Yaski Yom HaMisa, he recognizes this matter a certain amount of years, and that's it, and then the whole thing's over. So he recognizes the reality of his temporal existence, that's mashpil asasma. So you don't have to be a tremendous chacham to be mashpil asasma, to recognize his true place in reality. You don't have to be a tremendous chacham. The Rambam just concludes here, and he says, "Ve'isi l'chol mitzvahs ma'ashem above and azev v'afi she'rachti k'deish yisrach men ha'adam k'vi yicholto v'yas ma'ataras l'ishter v'nechol azev." Yes, the Rambam emphasizes the importance of looking. That's why he was ma'arachot. Okay. Let's take the next member. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, al shlosha devarim ha'olam kayam, that the world exists, or the world's existence depends upon three things: al adin, law, v'al ha'emes, and the truth, v'ala shalom, and peace. What does all this mean? Actually, it's a repetition, it's a contradiction on what we said before. Because the Gemara, the Mishnah said in the beginning, I suppose we're going to learn what I am. Right? Torah v'alim, right? Suddenly, we see three other ones. And the first three. You can have six instead of three. And the Rambam, interestingly enough, seems to treat them both the same way. He says, Adin, what is Din? Hu anhagas hamadina betzedek. That means having just laws, governing the land, the country, justly. He explained already in the fourth paragraph of the Shemona Prakum, the emes amailos haigyonios. Emes means intellectual perfection. Vashalom, and peace, is amailos amigosios. It means those values which incorporate the midos. Perfection as far as the emotions are concerned. So you need three things. You need moral perfection, ethical perfection, right? And then logical perfection. And then he says, you need din. And what do you have? Yeah, v'chashetu sagna sholosh amalas avol tiyam tzias betachlus ha'shlemus ha'fshoritz ali suffik ali pikbuk. If you have these three things, everything will be wonderful, fine, no problem. Okay. Question is, how do these three differ from the past three? And how do they differ? And how do they fit together? I mean, you have to understand, how do these three things fit together? Yeah. Okay, so the question we left with was that there seem to be two statements, two members that are contradictory. In the beginning of the parak it says that Aslosha Dvarim Olam Omeid Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim, and the end over here it says Aladin Valemes Valashalom. I mean, which one is it? And the way the Rambam has it, it's the Rambam has it, it's really repetitious. Because the Rambam says before that, what are the first three? The first three is Torah is Chachma, and Yom HaShem Chachma via Torah, Chachma via Torah. Umalas Amidus is Gemilas Chasadim. And Shemiras HaMitzvahs is Kabbanis. That he says, then definitely the Tikkun Olam will be fine. And over here it's similar, and two of them are the same, actually. The emes, he says, is Milos Sichlios, and Shalom is Milos Amidos, and Din is something else. I mean, Din is different. It would seem to be that Din is different than Kabbonis.
Avodah. And the other two are the same, but they use different terms for them. And in one place they use Torah and Avodah, and the other place they use, Torah and Gemilas HaSodom, and in the other case, that's the first case. And the second case, they use Shalom and Emes, which is the proper term. Is the proper term Torah and Gemilas HaSodom? Is it Shalom and Emes? I mean, what's going on? What is the, how do you explain it?
Universal.
Jeremy is right, that they're different. The first one is more specific, the second one seems to be more generic. It's true. That's a clue, but what is the... Okay, a good suggestion was made that the first one is the individual, the second one is the society. But the only thing is that the first one is also Olam Omed. Olam Omed seems to be society. Let me just tell you, I mean, the approach has to be as follows. The first thing we have to remove is the contradiction. How do you remove the contradiction? How do you have three, either these three things Olam Omed or the other three things Olam Omed? I mean, you can't say the Chazam and say three things. It has to be the three essential things. Not just these are three things and there's three more. How's it possible? So we have to remove the contradiction. How do you remove the contradiction? That's the first thing we have to do. I say the contradiction can be removed easily. Yes. See, what was it? Now the clue is like this. You see, let's take the one that's... I'll give you a marshal. A person will say, what makes a good athlete? Okay, we'll take a marshal from the physical. And the Navi many times uses the physical as a marshal for the soul. So you could say as follows. You could say that what makes a good athlete is training, good training, Right. Nutrition, good food. That's right, and his will, and a strong will. Perseverance. That's what makes a good athlete. Or I could answer you differently. I'd say, what makes a good athlete? What would be the difference between the two answers? What would be the difference between the two answers? Okay, you understand the question? The first group of things that we mentioned. We mentioned good training, perseverance, strong will, and good food, good diet. Those are the things that are involved in producing the athlete. The other things we mentioned, we said that it's strength, good reflexes, speed, agility. Those are factors that constitute the athlete. So there's a difference when you say what makes a good athlete, if you're discussing what exactly is involved in producing the athlete, or if you're discussing what the essence of the athlete, what constitutes the essence of the athlete. It's two different frameworks. You understand what I mean? Two totally different frameworks. Now really, that's the same thing that you have over here. Actually, they're both with regard to society. But the point is that the first group, let's take a look at the difference between the first group and the second group. The big difference is whether you have din or whether you have avodah. Now, how do we explain avodah? Do you remember? How do we explain avodah? What does avodah mean? Avodah means karbanos. And we said, what is karbanos? Karbanos, the Rambam explains, means that a person takes his instinctual emotions, and through the halachic system, he takes them and he molds them into something that's different, completely different, and he elevates himself through that process. Right? It's a process of taking that part of man, the raw part, the raw elements of man, and raising. Avodah means that he raises it to a higher level. He takes it, he refines it, he raises it to a higher level. So avodah is a process. Okay? Now, din is simply a state of affairs, like the Rambam says here. What is din? It says, Huan hagas medina biyosha. It means that you have just laws. You see? The difference between the first group and the second group is that in the first group he's discussing the elements that are necessary in order to create the society, in order to produce the society. Now, what are the elements?
So the elements is Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. It means that the elements, two of them are the same, really. Because Gemilas Chasadim means that the person has to learn to perfect himself in Midos. Mm-hmm. He has to learn how to increase his knowledge, to perfect his mind, each person in the society, and also how to raise the, how to channel the energy into a higher, better expression, better form of expression. That's Avodah. So those are the three things. Those are the first three things. The second, sublimation, whatever, but to channel the energy to a higher source. Take the raw energy and channel it to a higher source. That's the first three. Firstly, are those things which are used, are necessary in order to produce the society. The second three are the elements that constitute the society. What constitutes a good society?
New order.
See? So what constitutes a good society? So the Mishnah says three things. What are the three things? Din. In order to have the society, you have to have din. And actually, it's a pasuk. They learn that from the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk is like this. The pasuk says, that the pasuk is speaking about why God left the Jews and why the bias was destroyed. So it's a whole chayav. I'm one of the Yosem Gevoni Al Tashoku of Rosh Yishevel Al Tachshu Al Vavchem. It's in Zayin and Ches, really, of Zechayev. And the Libam Samu Shomir Mishmoa Satar Vavam Shishalach Hashem Tzvakos Biyurucho Biyad Anavim Hashem. He kept his Golem Meis Hashem Tzvakos. Vayich Hashem Karv Lo Shemeyu Ken Yikru Lo Eshma Am Hashem Tzvakos. So it's always wondered what happened to us. I mean, the history of what happened to us, that they were driven among the nations and taken away from the Eretz HaKadosh, from Eretz Yisrael, and because of the fact that they didn't listen to Torah. But then in the next, in the Ches, the Chaya says no. Kadosh Baruch Hu talks about the time when he will bring the Jews back, the Gula Asida. So he says that Kol Hashem Tzvakos Ki Pole Beinei Sheres Sam Azeh B'Yom Mahem Gam Beinei Yipole Nomer Hashem Tzvakos Hini Mishias Ami Meretz Mizrach Meretz Mevo Hashemesh Vei Veisi Osam V'Shachnu B'Soch Yerushalayim V'Hili La'om V'Ani Yeh Lehem L'Lakim B'Emesu B'Tzdaka. Alright, and he goes through a whole description of what will occur. Then he says like this. Then he says, "Elad var mashia tasa." This is what you should do in order to bring this. In order to bring this tufa, the Navi tells you what to do. Dabru emes ish esrei ehu. Alright, Dabru Emes Ish Esrei. Speak truthfully one to another. Emes Umishpat Shalom Shiftu B'Sharecha. So the Pasuk has a very strange expression. Emes, truth, Umishpat Shalom. And a judgment of peace. You should judge in your courts. So the question is, I mean, what should I judge? Should I judge a judgment of Emes? Or a judgment of Shalom? Or is Emes of Shalom? So it should be Emes of Shalom, Mishpat Shalom, Emes of Shalom, Shiftu B'Sharechem. No, Emes or Mishpat Shalom, Shiftu B'Sharechem. So Chazal say, what does this mean? That there's two types of din. That there's regular din. In other words, two people can come to court, two litigants come to court, and they say, we want din. We want to know what the halacha is. That's one way. Another way is that there's something called pshara. Pshara means that the two make up to begin with. They say that we will accept whatever we're not interested in them, we're going to make up pshara. We're going to do whatever the dying decides is the right way. We're mochel our claims and we'll abide by the dying's advice. That's pshara. That's really not their din. Or by the dayanim, depends on what they have. But that's really what pshara is. And the truth of the matter is, the Gemara says you're always supposed to try to do pshar. always pasuk bad, try to throw. So now, one second. So now the question is, what does the pasuk mean? Emesu mishpat shalom shifter b'sharechem. Emesu mishpat shalom. If shara is better, so it should be, you should have a mishpat shalom. See? What is emesu mishpat shalom? So Chazal say, that's why Chazal quote that pasuk over here. They say what it means like this. Al shlosha devarim olam omeid. Al adin v'ala emes v'ala shalom. You see? So what it means is like this. The truth in which one is better, yep, sure is better, but you have to have both. It has to be both. In order for the society to exist, there must be both. Now, from this, Chazal derive, they extrapolate, because this, from, in other words, the basic concept in the pasuk is, you can't have just pshar. You can't have just pshar. Pshar really is better, because pshar means people are mochel. The less that the courts have to judge, the better society has less, the worse the society is, the more decadent the society is, the more busy the courts are. Because why are the courts busy? Because people can't get along, and problems, conflicts, so they run to the courts. But the higher level that a society is on, the less the courts are have litigants, have people there. The less busy the courts are. That's really a mark of the society. Society has a lot of litigation. It shows something wrong. So lawyers will always thrive in a society that's decadent. Thrive would be much, much, much more prosperous. Society that people are getting along very well, so the society of people are getting along very well, they don't need lawyers. They say, look, let's work out what's fair between us. Why go to court? Why waste money on lawyers? But people can't trust each other, and they can't come to any agreements, and each one stands on his thing. He wants to get the most that he possibly could. His fantasy is, each one's fantasy is very great, and the sense of justice is obviously corrupted, because if there was a sense of justice, so they should both really know what is just, sense what is just, and agree. Yeah. So that's the way it is. But the thing is, what the pasuk is saying is that actually mishpat shalom, and mishpat shalom is preferable. It means the people have good midos. They don't really care about the dukoshal din, but they're willing to agree and be mochel. That's a high level. That's mishpat shalom. But the society must have also, there must be, you can't just have mishpat shalom, because in certain situations the society requires din. You go a din of sahar. And you must know what the objective justice is. You can't always have people very nice, some people will agree, but there has to be, the society has to be based on an absolute objective system of justice. And sometimes that's what you have to use. You can't use mishpat shalom, so you have to have din. And there, you must have really the perfected din. That's really what the pasuk means. Yeah, that's really what the pasuk means. Yes. Now, so the thing is like this. This is in particular what Zechariah HaNavi was saying. But the Mishnah takes it further, because the Mishnah universalizes the phenomena of Zechariah. And the Mishnah says like this, that really the shalom really doesn't represent just in the court of law, that you have to have a mishpat shalom, but shalom really represents, in general, perfection of the midos in a society. That's what the shalom represents, mishpat shalom. The perfection of the midos in a society. It doesn't necessarily mean the court of law. In the court of law, of course, mishpat shalom shows a higher form of people. But in particular, with the universalized. If you want to speak in terms of society, so in terms of society, we're talking about midos. So shalom means that the midos are, each one's midos are perfected. And what is the sign? Why is that the sign of shalom? Because with this peace, with this harmony, so one thing doesn't overlap. There's no conflict. Conflict is an attempt where two things want to occupy the same space, so to speak. Then you have conflict. Mm-hmm. But in shalom, in a situation of shalom, There is no overlapping. Each, there's a harmony. Everything, every person knows his place, and he knows where the boundary, where his boundary begins and where it ends. And there's no arguments, there's no overlapping. That's shalom. That's perfect. That's only possible through perfection of midos. But also, but you, that's perfection of midos. But in order for a society to exist, you see, you cannot rely on perfection of midos. That's an impossibility. To simply rely on the perfection of people's midos, it is impossible to have a society. Can't. Why? For several reasons. First of all, I mean, you can't, just because you have a perfection of midos, it's not practical that everyone will be so perfected that there will never be a question of what is legally mine or yours. And secondly, there has to be, even the perfection of midos per se would really not qualify, because sometimes you have to know, you may be perfected, you may have two people perfected, but the question is really just according to the laws of justice. Each one may be willing to give, but the question is legally, according to the laws of justice, who does it belong to? When does he have to give the thing back? Does he not have to give it back? I mean, there's a system of justice, a system of halacha that you must have, that must a basic system, a conceptual system of law, an objective system of law that must permeate the society. Then, together, that together with perfection of midos, you can have a good society. But if you don't have any structure, any basic structure of, any basic concept of din, of what is, what really the objective law is, then simply you have nothing, you have no structure. You have no structure. There must be a halakhic structure. People must be willing to subjugate their emotions to a universal system of law. Must be willing to accept the universal system of law. That's din. I must be willing to say that even though it goes against my own feelings, but there is such a thing as an objective intellectual justice. That's the system of din. If you don't have a system like that, then the society simply can't function. Can't function that way. Now, that is true. Mishpat Shalom really is based upon din. Which means you can't say people want to do something. Yeah, wanting is nice, but you want to do what? You want to do what? You want to be in line with justice, so there must be din. If there's no din, then all your desires don't mean anything. You understand what I mean? The Mishpat Shalom is impossible without din, because din tells you what the objective justice should be, and then the person should be willing to conform to the objective justice. But if he has no idea of what objective justice is it just simply perfection of midos? It's empty. Nothing. You understand what I mean? You have to have both. The din must be what the objective justice is, you see, and also there must be a certain amount of implementation of justice, because you can't, a society can't just rely on people's good meter. But simultaneously with that, just to rely, if a society just has to always implement din, then it's a decadent society. So you must have Mishpat Shalom, or people don't run to court every 2 minutes. As Mishpat Shalom means that the society can only exist if the meters are perfected. But of course you must have din. Without din you have nothing. Din is the basis. Without din there's nothing. There's nothing for a person. A person's emotions have to conform. They have to conform to something. To a concept of justice. There's no concept of justice. Forget it. Impossible. There's no what to conform to. So that's din, and that's shalom. But what is it? What does emes mean? Emes means also that there's one more ingredient that the society needs in order to survive. And that is that the society, the mind of the society should be turned towards reality. Should be turned towards reality. Din and shalom are really an internal affair. It's an internal affair. Make sure that internally the society really functions properly. That's the internal harmony. Din and shalom. But a society could never be successful unless the society really not just in harmony functionally, but it must be in reality. It must exist in reality. It has to have a certain relationship to reality, and that's only possible, like the Rambam says, with the midas hasichlius. That's the perfection of the intellect. You see, the me'enei ha'edo nesam is gaga. The pasuk says, "What is me'enei ha'edo? Me'enei ha'edo? Me'enei ha'edo means the Sanhedrin." It means the ones that have whose eyes are on reality. So in order for a society to exist, you have to have the internal harmony, which really is made up of two things, justice and shalom. And you also must have that the society must be turned towards reality. Like they must live in reality. No society is going to survive if it doesn't have any realistic knowledge in the Chachma. And that's really, that's Chachma Satara. That's the perfection of the person's knowledge. That really, that's why you need these three things. Two of them are for the internal, and one of them is the eye of reality. That's Emes. That's why you need those three. The truth, this is really what constitutes the structure, what constitutes the essence of the society. The first three were those things that are necessary in order to attain these perfections. But this really is what constitutes the essence of the society. That's the difference in the first three and the second three. It's not a steer, it's two different frameworks. Okay? All right. In order for a country to survive, it requires emes in many different ways. I mean, you have to have emes insofar as the Chachma Satar is concerned, insofar as Chachma Kalkus, Chachma Shlomo, everything. I mean, the Chachma has to be, like, in order to run a Medina, requires Chachma in many, many areas. Mm-hmm. But that's why in the first one you have Avoda, and in the second one you have Din. Right. Because in the first one you're talking about in order for a person to attain the perfections, that's Avoda. Avoda is something that's necessary in order by the process. Din is that which constitutes a necessary perfection in society. Yeah. They will never. Din, emes, and shalom is what all that, that's why somebody mentioned before. I think Jeremy mentioned that they're more generic. You're right, they're more generic. That's why they're more generic. Din, emes, and shalom, you put it that way. That din, emes, and shalom, these societies, every society aspires to these universals. Din, emes, and shalom. But the only way to reach it is the Taravot and Gemilas Chasarim. That's the only way to reach it. Without our system of Taravot and Gemilas Chasarim, no society could reach din, emes, and shalom. That's the... You see, even with Taravot and Gemilas Chasarim, we're having a hard time. See, din is different than emes. In what way is din different than emes? What way is din? Why isn't din just a branch of emes? And it's also emes. But why is how does din differ from emes? Don't din emes lamito? That's the question you're asking. Okay. The question is, well, what's the difference between din and between emes? Anybody? I'll give you an example. And it was a true story. The Gemara says that there was a case where, I think it was Shimon ben Shetach, that in Sanhedrin, right? That they trumped up charges against his son, and they said that, I believe they said it was Machal Shabbos, all right? Adam came in, false Adam came in, and they trumped up charges against him. And, of course, the Sanhedrin were, generally speaking, pick up contradictions, because they're Chokah and Dorish the Adam. But in this case, they weren't able to. Apparently, they're very brilliant people that they set up in order to have his son killed. So they were angry at him because he was done. He did a certain dinner. It was against the Mechashrim, right? With the witches, right? With the witches, yeah. So the charges were all trumped up, and there was no way. They passed through the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin couldn't stop them. Question him up and back. No way to catch him. So his son was killed. His son had to die. Is that din or emes? Emes is not. Din it is. Yes. See, din means where, was it right? Yes. It was right. But it wasn't emes. Why? Because din means where you have to subject yourself to a universal system. MS really is different. MS means what the truth is in particular in every single case. That's MS. MS doesn't know from this thing. But din means that there must be a universal objective system. And even if in a particular case, the truth of the matter is that you're right, but you have to be willing to subject yourself to din. That's what din is. Din is a different system than MS. It works in a different orbit altogether. Hey, that's right. It says that. As a matter of fact, it says it. That's right. It says you're right. I forgot. It says that they did tshuva and they admitted that they were liars, but they had to kill them anyways. Why? Because kivin shehigit tshuva nechazur magid galaka. Once they have bear testimony, they can't change it anymore. Galaka. But that's good. Not enough. But you have to have din. Without a system, without din, there's nothing. Emmis will never make it. Emmis and Fabian can't do it. Impossible. Because we cannot, we aren't on a level that we could live by Emmis. And we know every particular Emmis. Impossible. So we have to have a system of them. That's the difference in the game. Big difference. That really is halacha. That really is halacha. As a matter of fact, the Rambam and the Mora say, a lot of people might not agree with it, but the Rambam and the Mora says that the mitzvahs of Torah are best, certainly, for people. I mean, that's why God gave them to us, because they're best for us. But the Rambam says, you cannot say that in every instance that is better. He says there is no way, no law could ever be devised, even by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that will be perfect for every single individual in every single situation. He says, and even though every mitzvah, if you understood the reason, you'd see how it's perfecting you and how it's good for you, but you'll still see certain times when it's not good for you. Why do you have to do it? Din. That's din. Not MS, that's din. Because the system demands that you have to abide by it, even though it may be harmful to you in this particular case. But you have to abide by that din. With emes, you can't exist. Emes alone, you can't exist. That really is the whole concept of the Torah and halacha. Without the halachic system, we wouldn't exist today. Philosophers, there were philosophers, the Rambam says, that had many ideas that were very, very close to what the Torah holds. But emes, they were machav into a lot of ideas of emes. But there was never any din, never any halachic system. That's why they died out. Okay. But yadah survives because of din. Din is an important, very important element, but it's different than MS. And you have to have both. You have to have din, you have to have MS, and then besides that, you have to have the perfection of the midos. But din and MS go together, but they're not really parallel lines. Yeah. This is the question that they raise the modern day ethics. The people who stand for modern-day ethics raise these questions against the halachic system. Why is it in such a case, such and such a case, I mean, like they have, for instance, a case in Eretz Yisrael where Cain was married and they both got along very well, they loved each other very much, and they didn't have any children. It was after 10 years, and 10 years he divorced her, and then he discovered that she was pregnant. Now he grew her, came out of it. Anyway, it turned out that we'll get the whole thing. But even if you couldn't, I mean, the system of Torah happens to be such that there's so many ways, it can usually work that there's so many ways for a person to work it out. Yes, true. But not always. Why must the mamzer suffer? Question. Why should the mamzer suffer? All these questions that modern ethics raises against the others. The answer is din. There's no din, then you have nothing. There has to be din. That's the way it is. There has to be a system of din. Yes. That's why it's all shloshet varam olam omed kayam. What it means is you can't emes alone. On emes alone, the olam cannot be kayam. You must have din. You must have din. Okay. And din alone is no good either. Din alone, you can't. You can't just have din. Din must be, the framework of emes. There's a certain blend is necessary. Okay. Emotionally, like I said before, emotionally, personally, identifies with the individual. But intellectually, he has to see the whole. The whole demands din. The whole demands din. Okay. Now let's go, we have to go back a little bit. There's certain points we didn't take up. One of them is lo hamedrashu ha'ikir el ha'masa. So we took up what the Rambam, how the Rambam explains, law medrashur ikr al masa. That the main thing is not the learning, the main thing is doing. Law medrashur ikr al masa. This is a famous quote. It's in, right in Yud Zayin. Law medrashur ikr al masa. Usually it's something that the Amei Haaretz enjoy very much. Because they usually cling to this memory. They usually throw it at the people who learn. Because they feel the people who are learning feel that they have a certain superiority. They're really learning. No. La Medra Shrika La Masa. What the main thing is to do, we go to shul, we daven, we keep the mitzvahs. That's the main thing. Medrash? No. You learn a little bit. That's the way they explain it. That's the way they understand the Chazal. Of course, The only problem is that if an Amoris tries to understand a Chazal, he's not too successful. The way he understands it is wrong. But if take a look, let's take a look at the Mefarshim. Lo ha-medrashua ikur ela ha-masa. So the Rabbeinu Yonah learns the same way as the Rambam. He says, lo ma shelo yidrosh ha-mitzvah l'acherim v'hu eina osa osa. Ach yasa osam t'chila v'yilamdem l'acherim k'ma shum azam. No and v'am yitzvah p'yasem. It's referring to medrash means, over here it's referring to a specific situation. It's referring to a situation where a person wants to give others musa. He's a rav. He's a rav and a killer. He wants to give people musa. That's his job. So he's in that position. So lo hamedrashua ikra la masa. So what they mean to say is to that person they say, the main thing is not the medrash. The main thing is not what you're saying. If you want to influence people, the main thing is not what you're saying. It's masa. It's what you do. Because people will be influenced more by what you do, and if you do it, then when you say it, then you increase the influence. But if you have a wonderful drasha, and you could say the most beautiful words, and people will listen to you, you're telling the highest, most lofty, ethical performances that you're involved with, it won't help if they know that you don't do it. That's it. It's a specific law. Medrashua Ikra Allah Masa is a specific, referring to a specific situation. That's why the Rambam learns, that's why Ben Yonah learns. Means referring to a person who is dashening to others to improve them. That's the way they learn Shabbat. Because of course, doesn't mean we're medrash Ikra Masa. Doesn't mean to say that learning isn't as important as doing it. It's just the opposite. On the contrary, Yishalmi says that one word of Talmud Torah is greater than all the Asiyas and Mitzvahs. Anyone that knows the system of Yadlis knows that the Talmud Torah can add Kulam. That the Talmud Torah is the biggest, the most important, the greatest. And the truth of the matter is that it's impossible to learn any other way. Why? Because what are you going to say? Law medrashuk elam masa. What does masa mean? Masa means doing the mitzvahs, right? Well, one of the mitzvahs is Talmud Torah. So it's impossible. Now it's impossible to learn pshat. Law medrashuk elam masa. That it means to say learning isn't important. The main thing is the doing. Because doing has to mean doing the mitzvahs, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the mitzvahs is Talmud Torah. So it has to be. So if law medrashuk elam masa, you're going to have to learn anyway. So it can't in any way, nobody can explain, you can't explain the Maima Chazal to mean that learning isn't important, the main thing is doing the mitzvah. That's an absurdity, it's a shtus. The whole Asiyas HaMitzvah, only Asiyas HaMitzvah really only takes on true value when there's limit anyways. Because there's no limit what you're doing, you don't know what you're doing anyways. So what good is it? Person puts on tefillin, he has no concept of what the bottomless person made of, what the ritzuas are, what's inside and what the halachas are and anocha and any halacha. Doesn't have any, he's ignorant. I mean, what is his anocha's tomb? He puts it on right. It's a maisa kash ba'oma. Not saying he shouldn't do it. It's a mitzvah, fine. But he can't, that's not really the level. So, limud is impossible to make light of. The chazal don't mean to make light of a limud. It's an impossible pshat. It's a pshat that the avaratzim always cling to because they want to justify their ignorance. But no one learns shot that way. It's an impossibility. Okay. That's why the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, learn it's referring to a specific situation. That's what it means. Okay. There is a tasteless in Kedushin. It's not on this member. But there's a tasteless in Kedushin is based on a Gemara. There the Gemara discusses an interesting thing. You have to understand. The Gemara is like this. It's Daf Mem on the base. The Gemara is like this. This question was asked before that. Talmud gadol or maisa gadol? Which is greater? Talmud learning or maisa? Doing. Nene Rabbi Tafan v'oma maisa gadol. So he said that maisa is greater. Nene Rabbi Akiva v'oma Talmud gadol. Greater is limud. Nenu kulam v'amru. So they all said, Talmud gadol shah, Talmud mevi l'dei maisa. Greater is Talmud, because Talmud brings the maisa. What is the pshat in the Gemara there? What is the Gemara talking about? One of the pshat in Tesis is like this. Yesh mefarshim, da adam shelo lomad adayin, a person that didn't learn yet, ubo limlach, and he comes and asks us what he should do, in yilmo tchilo yasav b'maisa, what should he do? Omen lo lomo tchilo. First they tell him learn. L'fi she'ein amar tzchosif. Avol Odom Shalomatra. See, it tastes as if the ears was just a film for as long, because you know, Moritz, forget it. Avol Odom Shalomatra. A person that learnt already. A Maisa Tov Yosem Elimud. Then Maisa is greater. What does it mean? What does Pesach mean? What do you mean Maisa is greater than Elimud? And Chazal didn't learn anymore. Chazal wants to know to learn. They went to Maisim. Went out to the Maisim Tavim. And of course, they did Maisim Tavim. But what is he referring to? What is Tavim referring to? What's the job?
The thing is like this. The thing is, you have to understand what is meant by Maisa. What is meant by Maisa? Limud, we understand what is meant by. But what is meant by Maisa? See? Maisa doesn't mean that the Gemara doesn't mean that a person should simply go running around all day looking for mice and tovim. I mean, not that would be a terrible thing, but that's not the approach of Chazal. See, I mean, Chazal, I'm sure there are plenty of neem, plenty of cholim around. Just spend your whole life doing that. Commentaries first, no question about it. Commentaries no problem. But what it means is like this. What it means like this. Mice means a person. You see, there are two parts to a person. There is the part that recognizes, that thinks, recognizes reality. Then there is the part that lives actually in accordance with perfection. In other words, if a person lives in accordance with perfection, it means that his inner self is in a certain condition where he acts in a perfected way. He acts towards others in a perfected way, himself, the way he does mitzvahs, all these, the perfection really, inner perfection is expressed through actions. Now, when a person lacks perfection, so naturally his actions will lack perfection. Okay? Now, there are two ways to correct the situation. One way is to concentrate on the actions, and the other way is for a person to increase his knowledge. Now, each one really has a deficiency. See? In terms of knowledge is very great. Increases knowledge, fine. But increasing the knowledge really is an abstract. He's changing himself in a certain way. He's leaning more towards the abstract and towards the true ideas, but it doesn't affect always particular shortcomings in his nature. On the other hand, if he works on correcting his shortcomings per se, he concentrates on that. So that's Maisa. That's Maisa. That's what Maisa means. It actually concentrates on correcting his shortcomings. So he's leaving the world of the Chachma. Naturally, of course, you need to balance with both. I mean, no, Chazal held you should do one, not the other. It's just a question of how you balance it. So what Taisha says is like this. That when a person first starts out, so what he has to have first, he has to start off with Chachma. Because without Chachma, he doesn't know which way to turn. He would not even understand his actions in order to know which way to perfect them. He doesn't know what a perfected action is. There's no concept. So first, when he first starts, law marks chassid, he must first involve himself in knowledge. In that's the first thing. Then, however, once he acquired the Chachma and he knows exactly what perfection is, now he has to try to implement perfection in his nature. That's what Maisa means. Maisa doesn't mean running around doing Maisa. Implement perfection in his nature. To implement perfection in your nature means Talmud Torah also. That's also part of perfection. But it means much more than just the abstract knowledge of Talmud Torah. It means the way the person lives his day, the way he lives his life. That's what it means. That's what Taisus means. Taisus doesn't mean by Maisa running around doing Maisa. There's a system. There's a system of those priorities. But what Taisus means is Maisa, the Gemara means the implementation of a person's knowledge in his own everyday life. That's what Maisa really means. So that's why the Gemara says they had a machlokes, which is greater? What was the machlokes, which is greater? Question is, whose soul is on a higher level? A person who is perfected in terms of Maisa, which means that he implemented all his ideas and he has his perfected soul, but he's lacking in Chachma. Or on the other hand, a person who is a tremendous Chacham, he partakes in abstract ideas. The ideas are Kodesh Baruch Hu, but he's not fully implemented. You see? Not fully implemented. Who's better? So that was the Machlokes. The Machlokes was, Talmud Gadol and Maisa Gadol. So Tarfon said, Maisagal. He said, the man whose nature is such that he partakes of all the knowledge, he naturally flows from the knowledge, all his actions naturally flow, he's a perfected individual, he's better off, even though he has less abstract kochma. He's on a higher level. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, Talmud Gadol. No. I'd rather be a person who was lacking in some of the implementation, but l'umazeh, I had the more chokhmah. That person is on a higher level because he perceives more chokhmah as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though he's not really 100% implemented.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Then the Gemara says, Nenu kulam v'amru gadol, Talmud gadol, shatalmud mevi lidei maisa. What does it mean? It means they said like this. They said that you're better off with having the Talmud than the other way. Why? Because the other way you're not going anywhere. The other way you're at a standstill. You're perfected, very nice, insofar as your knowledge is concerned, you're perfected, and you're naturally in line. The soul is in a tremendous state of harmony, but it's not going to go any further. It stops there. But Talmud, the person who has more of the abstract ideas, even though he's not completely implemented, and he's not as harmonious, you see, but it's maybe the day Maisa. He has the chance, since he has a greater knowledge, of implementing. So that's why they said that it's better. See? So it's not really a machlokes, I want you to know. It's not a machlokes, because they're not going to argue with you, Reb Taf and Rabbi Akiva. Reb Taf and Rabbi Akiva were arguing in a situation where you have a fixed soul. Which one's better? Talmud or Maisa? Machlokes. But they, Nana Kul and Vamru, they said, yeah, but everybody agrees, if a person, for instance, was in, if a person at the end of his life, which one's better, which neshama is on a higher level, that's Machlokes or Taf Mekiva. We don't know, God knows. But insofar as life is concerned, you're better off having more knowledge. Why? Because God limits you, Nana Lemaisa. See? That's what Tesfis says, that a person who, this whole Machlokes is only later, but a person who comes to us and asks us what to do, so naturally we tell him first there has to be limud. Without limud, there's nothing. I mean, without the knowledge, he doesn't even know what to perfect. What's he going to perfect? Nothing. So first he has to have the knowledge in order to know what to perfect. Then the question is, once he has the knowledge already, so then Taisha says, some say that then mice is more important, because once he has knowledge, now he has to implement it. Okay. Right, but the pshat in the Gemara is not. The Gemara is not asking a question of whether it's better to be an Amoritz and be Maisa Mitzvah, or be a Talmud Chacham and not to Maisa. It's a crazy way to hear anyway. That's not what I mean. There's nothing to do with it. No, it's impossible. Because either one, see, Rashi learns not like the Rambam and not like the Rabbeinu Yonah. But Rashi learns La Medrashu Ikra La Maisa. He learns referring to a situation not exactly like the Gemara Kedushin. Gemara Kedushin is discussing something else. But he's referring to a situation which is different, but along the same lines. It's not a specific situation like the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah. See, Rashi says like this. Rashi says, "V'lo ha-medrash ha-ikar al-ha-masa." So Rashi says, "Shegodol ha-osa ha-mitzvos, yoser min ha-lome ve'eno osa." What does Rashi say? "Godol ha-osa ha-mitzvos, yoser min ha-lome ve'eno osa." What does Rashi mean? This is Godol Osa Mitzvah Yosim and Alom Venos. It's not the Gemara condition. The Gemara condition would never hakir, because the Mishnah says it's nothing. There's no, hands down, it's better off to be an Osa. No question about it. That's not what the Gemara condition is like. The Gemara condition is like we explained it before. The question is, which is superior, more perfection in this area, more perfection in that area? Which is the greater? That's a theoretical discussion, that's something else. But what is Rashi discussing? See, Rashi says, Godol ha-osa ha-mitzvah, the person that does the mitzvah is greater. Min alome vein ha-osa. What does it mean? Lome vein ha-osa doesn't mean lome v'lo osa. There's a difference between lome v'lo osa and lome v'ein ha-osa. Lome v'lo osa means he didn't have the opportunity to do it yet. Didn't do it. Lome v'ein ha-osa means that there is a certain type of mentality. It is possible for a human being to just learn the ideas, absorb all the ideas in abstract, but the ideas have nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with his life. There's a barrier between the ideas and the self. And the self. What? His nature remains unaffected. His nature remains unaffected. So there, Rashi says that there is no question. That Godol Ha'osa is definitely better. Why? Because a person, no matter how much he's lomed, but the soul is definitely split in two. There's a schism in the soul. Because naturally a person should follow his knowledge, he should see what the thing is, and he should naturally follow to do what's good for him. But if he doesn't live properly, he just has a knowledge of what the proper way of life is, he understands the halachos, he understands what the Derech HaChaim is, but has no shaychus to his soul, so naturally this person is much worse off than a person who's an osa. A person who's an osa at least has some type of harmony, but this person is totally in disharmony. So therefore, this person is definitely worse off. That's not the Gemara condition. That's like I told you, I think I mentioned this week, we were talking about what Kabbalah Samach Shemayim is. Yeah, Wolfson of Harvard, right. Here's such a Professor Wolfson, here's the type of guy. This person who had a tremendous amount of knowledge of the... Yeah, but he had no chance to him, that's it. He admitted he has nothing to do with mice, and that's it. That's what he has. That's possible to have this, and you have such a phenomenon. That person is worse than a person who's just an osa. Why? Because an osa has a certain harmony. That person has a discord in his soul, because he simply doesn't partake of any of the good, which he knows that this is the good, and he doesn't partake of it at all. A man will know that the good is to be involved in the Chachmas of Torah and Mitzvahs, and he'll live in a saloon, or he'll live a life of Torah. I mean, he's in total discord. He's worthless. It's nothing. He'd be better off. He'd be better off if he would just have a mindset, because at least he'd have a certain type of harmony, a harmony of the soul. Okay? So that's where Rashi learns. That's where Rashi learns the pshat in law medicine, law mindset. That's what that means. That's the third shot. Actually, I mean, it's the second shot in this Gemara. But it's the third in terms of the Gemara and Kedusha. By the way, that's what we mentioned this week. In the other shiur, we mentioned that somebody asked, what's the definition of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim? What is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim? So we said, that's precisely what Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. What is it? Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim? What do you mean? The mitzvahs are good for you. What's the big O? But it's Elias. The Kabbalah Samach Shemayim means to bring the other part of a person's nature, that part that has a resistance, to bring it in line with the way he understands the Chachmas HaTorah. That's Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. If there's no Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, means like Wolfson of Harvard, like I mentioned, the person is an intellectual, but he has no... His whole being has no shaykhus to his knowledge. That's not Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim means where you bring yourself in line with your knowledge, so that you live in accordance with the way you understand. Yes. Which, I mean, even osa has to be basic chachma. But it means he's not a tremendous chachma. Whatever it is, it has to be. Otherwise, not a seer. It's not even a seer. Yeah, the next Rabbeinu Yonah we didn't take. V'chol amar b'dvar mevi chet. So he says like this. Person who talks a lot in the Torah leads to chet. What does he mean? What do you say it means? It means like this. It says a person should not speak a lot in halacha, but he should wait and he should think whatever he says, and he should weigh his words. And he shouldn't hurry. Why? Because when a person...